Please turn to Romans chapter 11 this morning as we look at from theology to doxology. Romans chapter 11, we just have a few verses this morning where Paul's just going to break into praise. Let's ask God's direction as we begin this morning. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for His majestic life that He lived, the sufferings He endured that we really cannot imagine at all. We thank you for going through the hardship in life and on the way to the cross and on the cross. We give you praise and we give you thanksgiving this morning. We ask that you would touch our hearts today as we magnify the name of Christ, as we praise Him. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now to bring this message. I trust and depend upon you to do that. You bring it. We want to hear from God today. And I'm trusting in you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. From theology to doxology, from doctrine to praise is where we're going today in just a few verses. Last week we came to the end of the greatest theological treatise in the whole New Testament, the book of Romans. Truths that have saved souls. Truths that have brought reformations across the globe. Truths that have brought revival to hearts and to churches and even to nations. We've just taken a look at God's righteousness in the way He dealt with Israel, and before that, the way He has dealt with the Gentiles and the wonderful future prospects for both of them. It's out of this world. And now after that, Paul is here in Romans chapter 11, 33 to 36, and he can hardly contain himself. And he just breaks into praise of our great God and Father. Let's look at our verses this morning. Chapter 11 of Romans 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I wonder how many of us through the week have our personal praise sessions. Do you do that? You ought to. You ought to just have times in your life and through your week that all you do is just sit there and praise the Lord for all He's doing and all He's done. I mean, you should have your own wonderful time with the Lord in celebrating what He has done and what He's doing right now. And what He's going to do through your life and the life of the folks here at this church and on. For truly we have an awesome God and He does great and mighty things. And He's doing them right now. And we praise the Lord for that. Let's really personally praise the Lord. And here Paul's theology has indeed turned into doxology, into praise. This is one of the few words I remember from Greek class. Doxa. Praise the Lord. D-O-X-A. It's an easy one to remember. And that's what Paul's doing here. And he does it over and over and over. For example, put your marker there or your finger there and go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And look at another one of these doxology times that we have here. Praise. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. I agree with that. Have you ever noticed that when you sit down and study, or we come here and we hear preaching, and your heart gets moved to music? You know what's in our hymn book? You know what's in this? You got the blue ones down there, and I've got the pulpit version. It's full of doctrine, isn't it? This is full of teaching. This is full of biblical truth. What happened? Well, the folks who wrote these words in this music, they were just sitting there one day, and they broke into praise. And they wrote down these words. And they or others penned the music to those words. Powerful things. Our hymn book contains doctrine, and people are moved to music by the great doctrinal truths that we find in the Word of God. I sing the mighty power of God. Somebody saw the power of God and they penned it. Somebody was seeing it. We sing, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And they sing about it. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. And then I think we even have this in our hymn book, the Hallelujah Chorus. The Hallelujah Chorus. And He shall reign forever and ever and ever. Aren't you glad we have folks on this earth that aren't going to reign forever and ever and ever? But we have a King that is. King Jesus. And He is going to reign forever and ever and ever. I saw a bumper sticker on our trip. It said, I really miss Ronald Reagan. I thought sort of like that one. Paul is moved to praise here. He's moved to praise. We've gone from Romans 1 and through almost all of 11, and now he just explodes in praise. He's just beside himself. We just have to stop and do this. And that's what he does. And you know what? That's what this passage ought to do for us this morning. That's what this passage ought to do for us. Our text today identifies the response that we need to have in our hearts to God's sovereign working, even through tragedy, like we prayed about this morning. I guarantee you, there's going to be praise to God out of this. There's no doubt in my mind. I know the man. I know of his church. I know what God's doing there. It's power. It's power. It's God's power. You know, when we truly appropriate something like Paul's response here, it's going to elevate our personal joy in the Lord. I mean, I've said this before. When you take time to just sit around and praise the Lord, it's not going to take very many moments till you're almost like walking on air. Because you know what you're doing? You're praising the Lord, but you're doing what He told you to do. We are to praise the Lord. And man, that can just get us all excited. Well, that brings us to our first point this morning, the proper wonder of the believing heart. We find this in verses 33 through 35. We see the expression of Paul's wonder begins with two exclamations. And if you look at the verse, that's exactly what you see there. I got to get back to it, though. All right, Romans 11:33. Notice that in verse 33, we have two statements, two exclamation points. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Exclamation point. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Exclamation point. I get the idea that Paul is excited here. Knowledge. Knowledge is the gathering of information, and wisdom is knowing how to use that knowledge that you have gathered. And Paul marvels at how deep and rich God's wisdom is. Especially as he dealt with his own people Israel. It's just amazing what God does and has done. You know, we talk about God's sightings every Sunday night here in our service. God is orchestrating and He is dealing with our own church people's lives and the lives of church people all over this world. God is orchestrating and dealing and making things happen. And you think about it, He is dealing in each one of your lives as we go around the room. Each one of your lives, God is doing amazing things. And you know what? As we contemplate how phenomenal our God is in dealing with our lives, isn't it amazing how terrible a job we do dealing with our own lives? Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about how in the world does God deal in the lives of billions of people? We can't keep ourselves straight, but God is dealing in the lives of billions of people. Now, I've done this from time to time, and I think about this once in a while. I'm going to ask you, have you ever thought about not only running your own life, but you ever thought about if you could run somebody else's life at the same time you're running your own? Has anybody ever thought about that? There's more than me that are nuts here. I'll tell you what, I mean, I do this when I'm driving. I'm like driving, and I'm not even down to Cracker Barrel, and it happens. And I'll look at the driver in front of me, and I'll just kind of think, you know, how would I guide that person? And the next thing you know, I'm thinking about how to guide them, and I'm forgetting where I'm going and what I'm doing. But God's dealing with billions of people. Every second, all the time. That's mind-boggling. And so Paul is experiencing a sense of wonder at how God has been dealing and is dealing and is going to deal with people all over the world. And God's going to work through the history of man, and God is going to make everything turn out just the way it's supposed to, and at the same time, He's going to keep all His promises. I can't even come close to that. And so he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom knowledge of God. On Friday night, we were sitting in the junior boot camp final service, evening service. And Big Bob gets on. Big Bob was their speaker. And Big Bob is something else. And we'll show his pictures and so forth. But Big Bob got up and said, you know what we're going to do? He announced this on Thursday, I guess. He said, we're going to have you, junior booters, give testimonies on Friday night of what you learned this week, of what God's doing in your life. And to be honest with you, when he said that, I thought, this is going to be very childish. This is going to be, you know, way down here. Well, let me tell you something. It was anything but. The profound truth that came out of 4th, 5th, and 6th graders blew my mind. I mean, it was deep. Unbelievable. I think sometimes we wonder if our kids are catching anything. Let me tell you something. They're catching it. They're getting it. And that ought to motivate us to make sure what they catch is all the right stuff. Here's Paul. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. These kids get up there and one-fourth of them talked about an area that he touched on during the week, selfishness. How selfish we are. One-fourth of those kids got up and testified about how selfish they are in their lives. And all of us sponsors were sitting there about the... Yeah, you're not the only ones. And Big Bob mentioned that too. And then these kids got up and they talked about how God used certain messages to help them to deal with their mother who has 4th-degree cancer. Grandfather killed his wife and then killed himself. Divorce, terrible situations that these little kids are going through and how the messages help them. I'll tell you what, we need to promote camp. We need to make sure our kids get there. It's a week free from the garbage of the world, and God can work on them. They're not sitting there going like this. Doing this and whatever. It's just amazing. So here's Paul, and he's not done. One exclamation's not enough, so he has to throw another one in. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Unfathomable is a good word for our God. Unfathomable. We can't begin to figure out how awesome he is and his dealings. And it's so amazing how he can orchestrate every life. and that God can meet every individual in their place and time of need. It's unbelievable. It's like really futile to try and track God's footprints on the sea. That's futile. Never do it. He's so great and so vast and so above us. And the way He works does not conform to man's preconceptions. Our God is so powerful. I'm going to turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Familiar verses, but boy, do they play in here. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so far above. He is by nature incomprehensible to us. Incomprehensible. And the reason is our finite experience goes nowhere. We are seriously wee little pea brains compared to God. God is incomprehensible. But we can know Him as our personal Savior. And we can learn a lot about Him. And we can learn all our life about Him. And break into praise. But you know, we're never going to know Him exhaustively. In verses 34 and 5, Paul's thoughts flow into worship. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? You know, I've heard people who try and counsel God. Now, I told God that that wasn't right. I'm like, shut up and sit down. Don't tell God how it is. You listen to what He says about it. He'll tell it how it is. We need to be filled with awe and wonder at our God. I'll go back to Isaiah again to chapter 40. Chapter 40 of Isaiah. Who? Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? And who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Isaiah got it right. He got it right. He got it. He understood it. He said, don't even go there. You know, if we don't grasp the smallness of ourselves and bow in awe at the depth of God's knowledge and His wisdom, we will never experience the wonder and joy and praise of God that He wants us to experience. You know, if anyone had the right to sulk and to nurse himself, it was Paul. But what does he do? No, he breaks into praise. He was through more than all of us put together are ever going to go through. He bursts into praise of our unfathomable God. And secondly, this morning, the proper affirmation of the believing heart. It's been said that verse number 36 may be the most uplifting, the most praiseful doxology in the New Testament. Romans 11:36, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Here we are riding up and down 81. And you look out there and you see God's creation. Unfathomable. The mountains. The rivers. The animals. The sky. God made it all. He made it all. Now we're going to do a little experiment this morning, a little illustration. And in our minds, we're all going to get in our church buses and we're going to go up to Route 81 and we're going to close it down for an hour. And we're going to look at a small scale universe. So we get up here, we all get off the buses, and we're going to take a 2-foot yellow ball. Well, first we're going to go to Walmart and buy all this stuff, and then we'll come back. And we're going to head south, and we're going to put a 2-foot yellow ball down on 81. That's the sun. 2 foot, all right? 2-foot yellow ball. All right. Then we're going to take 83 paces south. And we're going to take a little tiny mustard seed and put it down on the highway. That's Mercury. Then we're going to take 60 more paces and we're going to put Venus down on the highway. A little tiny BB from the BB gun. Venus. Then we're going to take 78 paces and we're going to open the can of frozen peas and we're going to take one little pea and put it down on Route 81. That's the Earth. Then we're going to take 108 paces and we're going to take a pin and cut the pin head off of it. And we're going to put that pinhead down on Route 81. That's Mars. Then we're going to take 788 steps. We're going to put an orange down on Route 81. That's Jupiter. Then we're going to take 934 steps and put a golf ball down on Route 81, that's Saturn. Then we're going to call on the phone the bus drivers to come down and pick some of us up. Because now we're going to walk 2,086 paces and put a marble down on Route 81. That's Uranus. Then we're going to walk 2,322 steps and put a cherry down on Route 81. That is Neptune. Now, this is going to take us on a 2.5-mile walk. We've not even talked about Pluto yet. That means that we now have a 5-mile circle of universe. Now listen, and we're not going to walk any farther because for us to get to the nearest star, we would have to walk 6,720 miles. Not paces, miles, to get to the nearest star. And that's just the first one. And this whole universe is in perpetual motion, perfectly synchronized. The most accurate timepiece known to man. And there are people who think that this, it just all happened. One day there was this boom. I always think to myself, who's holding our earth up? Why is it not just falling? This earth is heavy. How comes it spins at the same miles per hour all the time? Who's spinning that? What is making that happen? Oh, well, you know, that just happened. You know, God's creation is marvelous. Or as Pastor Mark says, marvelous. It's marvelous. And we need to look at it. And we need to marvel at it. And we need to praise God for it. He made it and He holds it together. And when we think about that, our problems all of a sudden get very small. Very small. And finally, Paul says what is to be our ultimate devotion. Verse number 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. We need to live there. We need to go there every day. We need to get excited about what our God has done and what He is doing. And it's marvelous what He's doing in our church right now. Marvelous. I can go 600 miles away to the Wilds camp and there's going to be a bunch of soul winners here Tuesday night. And they don't have to have the pastor back here to make sure of anything. They just do it. You know, there are children all around us who need to be here in this church. John Bott from the Wilds, one of the program director, who I got to play golf with on Wednesday. That was nice. And he's like a preacher. You know, we're out golfing, but they're texting him from the Wilds. They've got questions. And, you know, John Bott was a little brat bus kid. Got saved on the bus route. And his wife told the ladies that he was a stinker. A lost little wild stinker. Look where he is now. I don't know if he's a wounded warrior or not, but he has, you see the commercials with the artificial leg and all that that a lot of them have. He's like that. I don't know if he was in the military or not. Here he is, a pastor today. Stories like that just go on and on. You know, you can't give up on anybody because you don't know what that little kid's going to be someday. That little kid who took the bat to the church windows might someday do open heart surgery on you. That kid might be the youth pastor someday. You just don't know what's going to happen. God makes this work. And man, we need to be a part of it. We need to long to be a part of it and to pray to be a part of it and to ask God to do great and mighty things and to keep on doing them. It's all about Him. How does the Psalms end? In praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what we need to do. Praise upon our lips. Every day. All day. It'll change your life. We just will do what Paul did and do what the Lord asks us to do. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let us pray.